Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money today, as we always do. Been doing this for 40 years, and I still like it. How about that? That's a good thing. You always should find something you like to do, then go become good at it, and two things occur. Number one, you get paid more because you're good, and number two, it's not a job anymore because you like it. It's like a hobby that pays you, and if you can turn it into a self-employed environment, then you have the ability to really go do something special, and that's what I always tell people when it comes to their money. First thing you want to do is raise your income. And if you raise your income and keep your expenses where they are, you create a gap. And that is the quality of life gap that you have. The bigger the gap between your income and outgo, the better quality of life that you have. And so we're going to talk today. I'm going to get into the different areas of investing. And we're going to start there. And I've got seven areas that we're going to talk about. But to start with, I'm going to give you a quick overview. You know, the goal is always to have an automatic plan for financial independence, and it starts with the GPS. You get to a point, the goal, the plan, the schedule. So what do I need to be able to quit one day? And that would be the goal. And usually it's about take your income times 20. It's, you know, it's kind of simple what you need to quit on. You know, if it's 100 grand, take it times 20, you need 2 million, and then 2 million at 5% gives you 100 grand. And then we inflate it over a period of time when we plan on the schedule being 20 years from now. We run the inflation and we get that. And then we come up with a assumed rate of return on the money you've already saved and the money you're going to accumulate. And we come up with our financial independence number. And we do that for people. So we come up with your financial independence number. That financial independence number is a monthly amount of money you need to set aside at an assumed rate that you would get that will put you on track to automatically become financially independent, to where one day you can quit and never worry about running out of money. That's the thing. So how do we do that? I believe there's six components, and we do this for people. First thing, if you're listening right now, or if you would like to listen to some of this in the past, every one of these shows, go to the podcast at RoyMatlockJr.com, or you can find it on Apple or any of the different, it's called the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hour. And so I believe that education is the most important thing you can do. If you can get educated on your money, you move yourself way ahead to begin with. And that education can be everything on how to create a good defense so you don't make mistakes. In other words, you don't go in and mess it up to where you're spending a lot of your time getting back to zero. And then the other part is your offense, which I'm talking about today. And then you look and you find advice. Always find people that know more about subjects than you do if you want to get better at those subjects. I don't care what it is. You know, I like talking to people that are great at what they do in their area of expertise. We then do a review of the current state of affairs from the point of your lifetime of work to where you are currently. That is your net worth. We do that. Once we get that done, we look at some of the negatives that are sitting there, if there are, and then we look at the positives, and we look at some areas that you might be able to improve in. We then create a defense. That's the defense, is mostly insurance, things to keep you from going backwards. We create an offense. That is a plan to grow wealth, and that would involve retirement and all those kind of things. Then from there, I would go out to a marketplace of investments, and we have all of them. I tell people, if you do business with my company, we're kind of like Amazon. You set your account up with Amazon, and you can buy anything. That's how we do when it comes to product selection. And then you review and update and see how you're doing. We're like the personal trainer. We meet with you, keep you on track. That's what we do. And so that's the components. And so we start out doing that. We have a great defense, a great offense, and then we get into how do we go about putting our money to work. So today we're going to talk about how money works when it comes to growing wealth. Number one, what is professional money management? Well, a professional money management company or a managed account is an investment account that's owned by an investor but is managed by somebody else. All right, I'll give you some examples. Mutual funds. We'll talk about what they are and how they were the first professional money management account. Back in the early days of the stock market, you've seen all of these different movies and stuff like that where the stock market guys, the stock brokers were, you know, shady and ripping people off. And what happened is back then, when you bought a stock, you paid a commission. When you sold the stock, you paid a commission. The broker made money regardless if you lost money. The way a managed account works, it's more in line with what an investor would want. If the account goes up, the advisor and the manager makes more money. If the account goes down, they make less money, so it's in their best interest to get it to go up. All right, they are similar in the way a financial advisor works. A managed account manages the investments, and I'll give you some examples of things that I witnessed early on in my career. I went to Los Angeles. Went to one of the investment firms. Been around forever. Matter of fact, I was right outside the courthouse in my hotel, looked out the window, and O.J. was driving to the courthouse. So I got to witness O.J.'s Bronco pull into the courthouse. And so I was there, and I was in some of the meetings, and they had some of the analysts there, and they had a guy that's a pharmaceutical analyst. And this is the day that I decided that you're not going to outperform these guys. And they said, well, this guy, they said, what's his background? Well, he's a doctor. And then he got his MBA, and all he does is study drug companies and analyze drug companies, whether they're a good investment or not. And he goes out to the whole thing of drug companies, and he goes and visits them, all right, on-site visits, meets with the CEOs and the C-level. Then he said, I go down and meet with the rank-and-file employees, see what their attitude is about the company. We go to research and development, meet them, see what they got cooking. He said, I'm a doctor. I go to the doctor's conventions. I talk to the doctors to see what they're prescribing. He said, then I even meet with patients to see how they're responding to the drug. I send it to D.C. and see what their take is on what's happening when it comes to, the political environment. And then we rank them and we invest money only after we do all that. That's what a professional money manager does. And so what we're going to do next is we're going to get into diversification, all the different types of things when it comes to your money. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com to schedule a free call.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money, and today we're talking investments and the different ways they work. If you're just tuning in, we were talking about how a professional money manager works. Basically, what they do is they go out and we mutually fund it along with others, and they go out and research companies, and they do real research, and then they pick and choose companies, stocks, bonds, etc., that they would put their money into, and they get a percentage of the value of the account. If it goes up, they do better. If it goes down, they do worse. And the interesting thing about it is that if you're in a managed account, you're working, they're working for you on a daily basis. And what that means is if they don't do a good job, you can leave and you've only paid as you go. And that's the cool part about a managed account, and that's called a fiduciary. But anyway, fiduciary account, that's how that works. And the investment firms have always been that way. The financial advisors that are fiduciaries are that way now. And so what happens, managed accounts can be across different types of investments, from small companies to large companies to mid-size to bonds to growth to value style, all these different things. And so what happens is managed funds allow a small investor, I say a small, or a mutual fund allows a small investor to get started. In many cases, I've got funds that you can open for $50 a month. And so pretty much anybody can get involved, and they get the benefits of diversification in professional money management. A financial advisor, which is what I do, a financial advisor, if you've met with a financial advisor, what their job is to be the in-between to the money manager. And so let's think of it this way. If I meet with you, I find out who you are. The money manager doesn't know you on a personal level. They're picking companies. They're studying companies. So they know the businesses out there to put money into. And then what they do is rely on people like myself, or you can do it yourself if you decide you want to do that, if you feel comfortable doing that. And then what we do is we take a look at you, your situation, your time horizon, your risk tolerance, you know, when what your goals are. And then from there, we pick and choose the fund managers that are out there. And so what we do as an advisor is we help you in respect to getting you in the right types of things. So for instance, if someone, and this is just in general and without meeting with someone and everything, it can be different, but generally speaking, if you have a long-term horizon, you're younger, you can take more aggressive approaches to investments. So we might put you into something more aggressive. If you're older, at or near retirement, or retiring, we may back it down a little bit so it might be more conservative. Then we go out in the marketplace and we pick and choose investment firms that have the better track records geared around you. And so, and for that, a financial advisor, a fiduciary, will charge a percentage of the value of the account. Let's just say, for the sake of it, between 1 and 2%, depending on the size of your account. If you have a larger account, of course, it can even go below that. And so what financial advisors do, they charge based on that, but their job is to advise you. So if you pick the phone up and you call a financial advisor and say, I'm considering a mortgage on my house. What is your advice on that? Or I had a client of mine yesterday, his kids are grown, in other words, over 18, and they're really on their own, but some of the cars that he bought during that time are still in his name, all right? So he bought the cars, they're paid for, and he asked me, he said, what do you think about that? I said, well, you know, the problem with that is that if they have a wreck and you own the car, you're going to get tied into it. And it's not like it matters if you own the car. If it were me, I would make sure it gets retitled into their name. And then that way, the only assets that could be attached would be something that they have, not your net worth. All right. We also talked about having a personal umbrella policy to protect in the event you get sued. So asset protection, that's part of the defense. And so a financial advisor has access to that. I have another client that asked me another question regarding, you know, their teenagers that are now 18. And I said, you better have a healthcare power of attorney, because if they go off to school and something happens, you need to have the ability to make medical decisions, and that comes with a healthcare power of attorney. So there's a lot of things like that, from, you know, should we, you know, fully fund and do a deductible IRA. I had a question where someone wrote in, they said, I have a 401k, can I still do a Roth? And I said, well, you know, maybe depending on your income, you could do both and deduct your 401k and take the deduction that you save in taxes, and that might be enough to fund your Roth IRA. So, you know, it's just stuff like that. So the way a financial advisor works is they charge based on the percentage of the value of the accounts, but their job is not tied. That's not their only job. You're paying for advice. And so that's what I tell people, find someone to help you. It's been proven that more than likely they're going to outperform over a long period of time and help you in a lot of other ways. Then we go into diversification. The idea of diversification is that we want to have investments in different types of holdings that perform differently in different markets. All right. So for instance, when interest rates are up, you know, it makes more sense okay, if you think rates might be falling. Bonds are better if they're getting 7% than if they're getting 1%. All right? Bonds tend to be more conservative than maybe stocks. All right? Or maybe cash is, you have a certain amount of money in cash. So the whole idea is that we want to have something to be happy about every year with our accounts. And the way we do that is we diversify. We diversify across industries. We diversify across, international versus U.S. We diversify across stocks, bonds, money markets. We put stuff in annuities. We diversify across all of that. And the idea is to reduce volatility. And one of the keys is to balance your comfort zone, okay, with your time horizon and level of risk, and that's also how you diversify. And then we go into four areas. I always tell people when it comes to saving money, we have four areas that we can really go with. We have money markets, we have bond funds, and we have stock funds. And then we also have insurance. Now, what do I mean by insurance? Well, if you go to the bank and you put your money in the bank, you have insurance. It's called FDIC. If you buy an annuity, that's insurance. And so you can buy insurance that protects against loss of principal, loss of income, all these different things, or you can go uninsured. And so there's four areas of diversification. We have money markets, bonds, stocks, and insurance. All right? And then from there, we put it across what I believe to be pretty well covers everything, seven different areas that this money goes into. So what are the seven areas? Well, the simple one is an emergency fund. So we may have some liquid cash, 3 to 6 months of cash set aside for an emergency. Why do we do that? We do that with the intention that we're going to keep from going backwards in the event something happens. All right. So the emergency fund allows you to raise your deductibles on insurance, saving you money. It also allows you to be in a position that if you lose a job, that you're not going to be digging into your retirement accounts, possibly when those retirement accounts are down. Maybe the market's going against you, something like that at the time. So the idea of an emergency fund, the rate of return you get on an emergency fund is the fact that you don't sell at a discount. You don't get penalized because you had to early withdraw your money. You raise your deductibles and you move yourself there. So that's one of the seven areas. We're going to be coming back. I'll be hitting the rest of them. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and you can visit roymatlockjr.com. Lots of free downloads. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, segment three, and we're talking about the offense and investments and moving in the right direction. And real quick, if you if you like the show and you like, being involved in things that involve finance, you might become one of our licensed referral partners. And you can be a silent partner where you're just out and about doing your normal thing and refer business and actually be able to get compensated for doing that. And if you would have an interest in joining our team where you can learn from the inside about money and maybe make a little extra cash on the side and maybe even a place that you could end up one day as a full-time investment advisor. It's a great way to kind of stick your feet in. Go to roymatlockjr.com and look up Join the Team, and we will get you some information on that. All right, so when we came out of the break, I was talking about seven investment areas that you would be putting your money. The first one is an emergency fund. The idea behind the emergency fund is to keep you from going backwards, keep you from cashing in the 401k because you lost your job or something like that, keep you from having some kind of setback, health, whatever it may be, and you got to dig into long-term savings. Also, emergency funds allow you to raise deductibles on your insurance, saving you money that you can reinvest and so on. So that's some ideas there. Then, of course, you know, your important stuff is your retirement funds. Your retirement funds, we want to go in and get that money with the idea, why do you put money into a retirement fund? So one day you can use it, all right? So we want to put that money aside with the idea that we're going to leave it alone. We have a long-term horizon on it, and we want to do that. There's different places you can put your retirement funds, and when we meet with someone, the first thing we want to do is find out, you know, does it make more sense to do a Roth, or meaning tax-free after tax, or a traditional, which is pre-tax, tax-deferred that you pay taxes later on. And we meet with people, and we really kind of do an analysis of that, because I see a lot of people doing Roths when they might be better off doing the traditional. Their income is up. Maybe they started later in life, and realistically speaking, they could potentially have lesser taxation after retirement because their income is going to be down. Or it may, and they could get the biggest tax benefit now. So there's a lot of different things that go into it. So we look at that, but those are the two different ways you can do it. And in both cases, you might have the ability to have a traditional or a Roth 401k if you're at a company, or a 403b would be another area. So what you want to think about is think about it. The very minimum, we're going to get our matching funds if we have retirement plans through work, generally 6% in, 3% match. That's pretty good. You deduct it. If you take a traditional, you get to deduct that 6, which means it might only net after taxes cost you 5. And a year later, you've got 9. That's pretty good, plus growth, that whatever it's in. So the idea is we want to max out, do as much as we can on those retirement accounts. You can put upwards of, if you're over $50,000, $30,000 into those accounts, not including IRAs. And I've had clients that I meet with that have good incomes, and I said, look, you guys need to put 30 apiece in. And they put 60 in and deduct it. Then they take the deduction, which might be $15,000, which almost funds 2 more Roth IRAs, or the very minimum, a backdoor IRA if you make too much money. And what a backdoor IRA is if you earn too much to qualify for an IRA, a Roth IRA, you put it in the back door. It's called a non-deductible IRA account. So we set it up, you deposit that money, and then immediately we roll it to a Roth, and now you just put aside $60,000 maybe of deductions. And then we threw the rest of it in a Roth. And so got a lot of ideas on retirement plans, but the long and short, you got 457 plans, those kind of things. You want to take advantage of the taxation. You want to take advantage of the matching funds that you're being offered, all right? And so yet I see that, and I still run into people that are not taking advantage of it. It just – you know, so the first thing that I do when I meet with someone is I say, what do you have offered to you for retirement? And we talk about that. Then we have self-employed individuals who can do individual 401ks on their own. They can also do what's called a SEP, and they can put up to 25% of their profit in that and deduct it. And so what we're doing is we're taking advantage of things that can be tax beneficial. You also have health savings accounts, which will ultimately, if you don't use them, turn into a retirement account. Once you're 59 and a half, it becomes just like a retirement account. You can use it for anything. So we've got, that's the second area. So we've got emergency funds. We got retirement funds. Now, then we go, we have college funds that we can put money in. We've got 529 funds that grow tax-free that, you know, you can put in for your kids for their college. Typically, when I put people into 529s, I do what we call target dates. And what a target date is that if we were to look at a new baby right now, we wanted to set aside some money for college education, and we know they're not going to be out going to college for 18 years, then we would do a target 2040 or 2045 or something like that. What that means is that we would take the year of their birth year and add 18 to it, and then we come up with a managed account that's more aggressive when you're younger, less aggressive when you're nearer to the target date of college. Same with retirement plans. If you have no one helping you, my recommendation has always been take your birth year, add 65 to it, find you a target date, all right? And that allows you, and what target dates do, target date retirement funds automatically are more aggressive when you have a longer time horizon, less aggressive when you get to retirement, and it will even manage your money after that over about a 30-year period. And so we have emergency funds, retirement funds, all the different retirement investments we'll talk about in a minute, but the bottom line is that you get tax benefits. You get tax benefits on college funds. You can also use gifting called an UTMA or an UGMA, depending on your state, where you can gift money to your children. It'll be taxed at their rate rather than yours, and it's not required to be used for college. We also have what I call opportunity funds. That's where we take monies that we don't expect to use, so we have it invested, not just sitting in a bank account. I run into people. I had a person just this week that, you know, has 300 grand sitting in a bank account. And I'm like, no, we got to do something better than that, even if you need it, all right, or want to keep it liquid. And so those are opportunity funds. And depending on if you have no real use for the money at the time, then what we might do is put it into something, you know, that has some stock and bond, you know, growth opportunities with it. But at the same time, it's fully liquid, so you can get it instantly. That's an opportunity account. What's an opportunity? Oh, you got something come up. You got a family member. I had one of my clients that family member passed away, and that house and the family all agreed that, hey, we could sell it, or if you want to buy it, you can buy it for cheaper. And so what happens is they were able to buy that, okay, at a discount, and they had the cash. And it was funny. He called me up, and he says, hey, I need 50 grand tomorrow. And I'm like, okay, well, thanks for telling me. But, yes, we were able to get that opportunity money in the bank account the next day. And so that's an example there. We then roll into, when we come back, we're going to get into more of this, but non-retirement tax-deferred accounts. We have funds for income that we set aside, and we have funds for health care. So what we're going to do in this next segment is get into more details on the different places to put it, and we'll see how much time we have to talk about specifically what to do with it. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and if you visit roymatlockjr.com, we got a wealth of information to help you win the money game. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit roymatlockjr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, we're back and finishing up our last segment, and I would encourage you to I talk to people all the time, and I wanted to kind of hit this. And I ask them, I say, do you have a will and trust? And they're like, no, but I need to get one. I worry about that. I have a child that's a special needs child, and I don't know what would happen. And I can, or I've got, you know, you've remarried or whatever it may be. And a will and trust is essential. And I would encourage you to go to roymatlockjr.com. We've got three ways that you can get that done and get it done in a quick and affordable fashion. Visit roymatlockjr.com and you'll see it right on the front of the website. So that's just something, if you've been worried about it, get it done, get it fixed, and we can help you do that. All right, let's keep going. We have the seven different investment accounts. We've covered emergency fund, retirement fund, college funds, opportunity funds when we came out of the break. Now let's talk about non-retirement tax-deferred dollars, okay? In other words, they don't fall in the retirement, quote, IRA, 401k, whatever it may be, and that's called annuities. Now, when we get into annuities, there's a lot of different annuities. It's also anything to do with life insurance. So let me give an example. So there's annuities that are called fixed annuities. There's fixed indexed annuities. And a fixed annuity is just a guaranteed principal, and it has an interest rate, generally a little better than the bank, but it grows tax deferred. You can get a fixed indexed annuity, which has principal guarantee, and it gets a piece of the upside of the market. It's tied to the market. The market goes up 10%. If you have a 10% cap, you would get that. You can have variable annuities. That's where it's invested with no downside protection, but it gives you tax deferral, and also you can convert it to a lifetime income guarantee. And then you have what we call RILAs, R-I-L-A. That's a registered index-linked annuity where it has some downside protection and a lot of the upside growth, and it's tax deferred. And then the last non-retirement tax deferred account would be called an indexed life insurance policy. And what it does is it allows you to have additional life insurance, not term. This would be something you could keep forever. And then it allows you to pull money out tax-free, all right, prior to 59 and a half, because it isn't tied to like a retirement plan. And that allows you to get tax-free income, and it grows tax-deferred while it grows. And then when you pass away, that money you've pulled out is part of a death benefit, so you therefore never pay taxes on that money that's being pulled out. And so those are non-retirement tax-deferred funds. Remember this, life insurance annuities have the tax stamp that allows you to put money in and defer it. Why does that happen? Because it is an insurance product which allows for some type of guarantee. And when you do that, it allows you to get the tax deferral set aside. So if you have additional monies, you've funded your retirement accounts, and you've got an opportunity money set aside, and you want to do something that would grow tax deferred. I just had a client that I met with, mother passed away. We put a couple hundred grand in years ago. We knew the money would never end up being used. It grew to almost $900,000 tax deferred. So all that growth, it grew tax deferred, no taxes along the way, and then the two daughters were able to get that money. And get that, and then defer it over their lifetime. And so there's things like that that you can do. We have funds for income, all right? How do we do that? Well, we've got two things we can do. One is we can put money into an annuity. An annuity gives a guaranteed lifetime income that allows you to have a longevity insurance. All an annuity does is say, look, you put your money in, it grows. If you spend it all, we'll keep paying you monthly. All right, until you die. So that's an annuity. Annuities are bought for longevity risk. Longevity risk is you live to 101, like my mom. My mom is 101 right now. You're going to be 102 in August. And so when you live that long, that's great. Good news, she's in good health and does good. Bad news would have been had she run out of money when she was 85. That would be bad, all right? And so annuities provide lifetime income guarantees. Another way you can do retirement money, which we recommend, is you have stocks and bonds. Now, what is the difference in an annuity and stocks and bonds? Well, annuities have guarantees. Stocks and bonds don't. Well, why would we want to have money in an annuity and have it in stocks and bonds? Because one of the big risks that you run into is inflation. And so the idea behind having stocks and bonds in your portfolio, the idea is as time goes on, we have some inflation protection, maybe because the market tends to outperform inflation. And so what we do is when I meet with people, if someone was in the income stage, they might have a third of their money sitting in something guaranteed income like an annuity, and they might have two-thirds of their money in something that has some ability to grow. And that puts a little bit of the guarantees in and a little bit of the not guaranteed that has growth, and that's funds for income. And then the last area that we set aside money would be funds for health care. And this is mostly a product for someone that is, they're retired. And what the biggest challenge that you could face at retirement is a long-term care stay, All right. And so what long-term care has done, a lot of the insurance companies have come up and said, look, we're not doing this long-term care insurance the way we used to, where you pay a premium. What happens is you can throw a lump sum in. I'll give you one example, and there's a lot of different there's all kinds of different examples, and this is just one example. So you are retired, and you throw in $100,000 into an annuity. This annuity works like this. It's getting an interest rate. It's a fixed annuity. It might be getting 4%, whatever it may be. And that annuity grows. And then as it grows, it's your money. If you decided you wanted to pull it back out, you could get your money back out. However, if you go into a nursing home, it will triple. All right? So if you have any of the ADLs where you can't do the seven ADLs, then, which is activities of daily living, you can't do it, these things will kick in, and it's a deductible plan. The one I like best is a deductible. So how does that work? You put 100 in, the first 100 you spend on the, it comes out of your money. And then at that point, if you're still in the facility, the next 200,000 will come out of the insurance company's money. If you live a long life and never use it, that's something that could go back to your as an inheritance. So that would be the seventh investment account. So when I meet with people, first thing I do, you know, if they're young, they're going to probably have some college funds built in. And so what happens, we start with emergency fund, retirement fund, and a college fund. Then we have an opportunity fund. Then we have some annuities that can grow tax deferred. That's when we're accumulating money. So what we've got these different areas designed for different things, allows us to have access, you know, but at the same time, we got tax benefits. And then we retire, we look at converting some of that to income, and then from there, something set aside for healthcare. That's seven investment accounts for different goals. And so when you're working with someone, I go in there and I try to put together plans that make sense if you needed money or if you just don't need the money. Many cases I've met with people that are older, and we invest some of their money as if they were younger because they would never need it. And so we invest it with a longer-term horizon. So anytime you meet with a financial advisor, there's no clear-cut advice. There's no blanket recommendations. There's just things to choose from. And so what we do at my company, or Roy Matlock Jr. Advisory, is we meet and we determine that. And that starts with the goal, your plan, and then we come up with your schedule. So let's talk about how investments work. And the best example that I can give you would be the first thing we want to do is we want to understand compound interest, okay? If you understand compound interest, you understand, once you get that in your mind, all right, that money can be lazy or it can work hard. You don't have to put any time into it, though. So if I'm going to have my money work out there work, I don't want lazy dollars. I want dollars that will work hard for me. And the first rule I learned is called the rule of 72. Now, if you've never heard of the rule of 72, it's like magic. If you understand the rule of 72, you'll understand why you want to get a better rate of return on your money. So let's say that you had $1,000 and you put the money aside, or better than that, we have three people that have $1,000. And they decide they're going to put their money in. One of them has lazy dollars, and they get 4%. And then another one gets really hardworking dollars, and they get 12%. So here's what happens. So what's going to happen is we take the interest rate into 72, and that tells it how long it tells you how long it takes your money to double. So here's what's going to happen. If you put 4% in, every 18 years, you will double your money. So if you put $1,000 in, it'll double every 18 years. And over a 48-year period, and I'll give you 48 just to make it like 67, 68, that means it's going to double 2.7 times, and your $1,000 will be worth $6,340. If you double your rate to 8%, it doubles in 9 years. You would think, well, if I double my interest rate, I'll double my money. No, it doubles 5.3 times, and that means that your $1,000 grows to $41,000. Now, what did you have to do? You just had to get your money working harder. You were, rather than getting 4%, you got 8, and it went from 6,000 to 41,000. And then finally, at 12%, your money doubles every 6 years. It's 8 doubling periods, and you're looking at 256,000. So same money over a lifetime, 6,000 versus 256,000. So what we want to do first is, first and foremost, we want to make sure that we're getting a better rate of return on our money when we're working our money. And so I hope this has been good. We're out of time today. I will continue on investing and how to do it. If you would like a quick phone call with one of our advisors, you can reach us at roymatlockjr.com. Download some of our free downloads and listen to the previous shows on our podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.